That's your argument now? What? Like, you hate Orange Man so bad, you want to make an argument that the U.S. government doesn't waste money?
It was like they got shot with a dart in the jugular that contained, like, methamphetamine and rabies.
All of these agencies are like big, fat chickens dripping over barbecues of fat. This is the best barbecue I've ever seen.
All right, Zach Abraham, week two. I've got to start with this because I am fascinated with this topic. Is there gold in Fort Knox? Yes or no?
I'd bet yes. But we, I and a lot of folks that I know, we were saying back in like the mid-90s, we wanted Fort Knox audited, right? And wanted the Federal Reserve audited. So to see these things actually happening, I think is wonderful. And I actually think that what they find is not of the utmost importance. Meaning, it would be if they found that it wasn't there. And it wouldn't really surprise me, though. Like meaning, you know, oh, where's the gold? You're like, $37 trillion in debt, dude. You know? Like, okay, so $600 billion in gold, not going to make or break the scenario, right?
So I'm a history buff, but I also love a good conspiracy, right? So in 1974 is the only time this has ever happened. And it was the same sort of like sentiment then about things are being hidden from us. We're not being told the truth. So they relent in 1974 and they let some journalists and some politicians into Fort Knox. So I pulled up this old story from the History Channel documenting it all. So let's just watch part of it.
For years, depository officials were pressured to open the vault for civilian inspection. But Fort Knox continued to refuse to allow the public inside. Finally, in 1974, for the first and probably last time, a dozen congressmen and 100 journalists were invited inside. Among them was a young senator from Kentucky called Walter Huddleston.
As one who has lived within just a few miles of this installation for a good many years, but who has never been inside the front gate, I can say that it is with a great deal of interest that those of us from the Congress have this opportunity to view the deposit here and to learn just what is inside the gold vault here at Fort Knox.
It was the opportunity of a lifetime. Illinois Congressman Philip Crane, who'd helped initiate the audit, was also there.
Congressman Crane, you suggested all this. Why?
Well, I did because there were rampant rumors and members of Congress were receiving a great deal of mail based on the charge that significant portions of our gold reserves at Fort Knox were gone. So I had suggested to Secretary of the Treasury Simon that I thought this would be a good way, I think, to dispel those rumors.
The secret contents of the vault were about to be viewed by the public and recorded on film for the first time. Amid the excitement, director of the Mint, Mary Brooks, took center stage as host of the event. She wore a money green dress and a necklace adorned with gold coins.
Miss Brooks, are you happy now that the gold is here?
Oh, of course. I knew it was here all the time.
I knew it was here all the time. So the funny thing is that even after they did that, there was still this conspiracy that like the gold they saw wouldn't have been all of it. It couldn't have been all of it. Like, people were adding up the sort of like blocks and that doesn't seem like enough. And then they also weighed it in front of people and were saying that the weight didn't seem quite right. So even if they open it up, I mean, will people believe it?
I don't really know that it would change anything. Honestly, I feel like it'd be a better thing if it wasn't there. You know what I mean?
What?
No, just like, you and I know what's going on, and I think anybody that has studied government and cares about facts and accounting and things like that, I mean, government's running what, $6.25 trillion budget a year? Okay, what is the lowest amount of fraud you think's in that number?
Oh God, 25%.
I mean, I was gonna say like lowest end, maybe 12, 13. Mm-hmm. Probably my guess would be somewhere in that 10 to 20%, 25% range. And when I say fraudulent, I mean spending that would not be occurring if the American public knew about it. One thing that has blown my mind with this, Brandy, is I have literally heard people pushing back against DOGE, obviously, you know, people that align much more on the left, and saying things like, oh, there's no waste in the government budget. They can't prove it. And you look at them and that's your argument now? What? Like, you hate Orange Man so bad, you want to make an argument that the U.S. government doesn't waste money? Because that's not what you were saying the last time Trump was in office. That wasn't what you're saying when Bush and Cheney got us into Iraq the first time. Now all of a sudden they're completely efficient. No money's wasted. I mean, come on.
Well, and if that's true, then why do you care if he looks? If that's true, then why do you care if he looks? Because then he won't find anything, which we know it's not true, and they're just hopeless ideologues. I don't know. You don't think that, like, the markets would tank if they open? Is it kind of one of those things where it's like, I'd rather just not know? If they open that thing up and it's just got, like, spider webs in it, you don't think that would have an impact on, like, the stock markets or anything?
No. I think the value of gold go up. I think you'd see the dollar get hit temporarily, and I don't think it'd make a big deal. And here's why. Should it? Yeah, it should. Why hasn't it? We've been running the global economy on printed money for 15 years. We don't even, right? It's not like a conspiracy. They're not out there telling us, oh, don't worry, we're printing money, but we've got this value backing it up over here. They say on 60 Minutes, if you can print your own money, you can't go broke. If I got to choose, I would hope that it wasn't there, because I want more Americans to wake up and realize how much they've been bilked.
Yeah, but also I think there's this weird element, and it goes to everything you just said about Doge, and like, you don't want people to just open the books and take a look. I think it's this element of why is it so hard to see it? Why has it only ever been done once? Why can't, for instance, Senator Mike Lee, he said, as a United States senator, he was replying to Elon Musk, who said it would be cool to do a live video walk through Fort Knox. Mike Lee said, as a U.S. senator, I've tried repeatedly to get into Fort Knox. Fort Knox says, you can't come to Fort Knox. He says, why? It's a military installation. I'm a senator. I go to military bases all the time. They say, you still can't come in because you can't. So there's kind of this element of like, why couldn't a senator who has access to all these other things and who can go to military bases everywhere? Like, why can't they?
Well, and this to me gets back to us sort of losing, not sort of, really losing our way as a country, which is, what are the values that we hold the most dear? Well, what are the ideals that we hold the most dear? And at the center of that is that it's a government of, for, by the people, right? And that has clearly been lost.
Yeah.
Meaning, when a U.S. senator wants to go to a military installation and verify the amount of gold that's in the vaults, there shouldn't be any way to turn him away. I'll refer to it as a deep state for lack of a better term. But you've got these unelected bureaucrats who are completely going against the will of and it doesn't even matter what party we're talking about, right? They are serving, they are using our tax dollars to serve their own personal interests or what they view should be U.S. interests, but do not correspond with the will of voters. The voters aren't even aware that money's getting spent on those things. And there's so much of this that comes down to a lack of fiduciary care, right? Like, meaning as a government, as the Federal Reserve, as elected officials, you have a sworn oath, or you've sworn an oath, to protect our best interests, to defend the Constitution, and nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. And again, there are offenders on both sides of the aisle. And the only way we ever get this sorted out is if the American people are aware of exactly, you know, how deep it goes. And, you know, I hopefully this is the process starting to learn to vet that out.
100%. All right, let's talk about the biggest Doge catch of the week. I would say $4.7 trillion in Treasury payments that are untraceable. So Doge looked into it, says that they're supposed to be categorized. You can trace where the Treasury payments went and for what. And there's $4.7 trillion of them that have no categorization whatsoever and thus are impossible to trace.
When you're looking into fraud of any kind, there are always hallmarks, right? Always. And they're always pretty consistent. One of the most, like, tried and true hallmarks of fraud is unnecessary complexity. If the number was $3.5 billion, you'd sit there and go, okay, that still makes me sick. But, you know, they're dealing with really large numbers. I get it. Like, guys, it wasn't very long ago. You probably only need to go back to like 2016, where that amount of money is commensurate to an entire annual budget of the United States. The idea that money's gone and they don't know where it is, it's an absolute lie. Absolute lie. And this is my problem, is this complexity, the fact that we don't know where that is, what does it mean? It was used for things that we're not okay with. Right, by definition.
Well,
right?
What's also interesting is we know how bad some of the stuff is that we can trace. Like all this crap, you know, we've been tracing all over the world and the DEI stuff and the drag queen stuff. So imagine how bad the stuff is that we can't trace. And you're right, that accounts for about 70% of total federal spending per year. So, that's not for 1 year of untraceable stuff, but that is how much money that is. So you can only imagine the wild stuff that that's being spent on.
the other idea is like them trying to like explain this away. Well, it's nor. I'm sitting there. I work in finance. Every transaction is traced by multiple people, right? Because you have counterparties, you've got money moving back. It's impossible not to have. If there is no trail, it's because it's purposefully not there.
And then we have to account for like all our, God forbid, we get audited by the IRS. And I've got to explain why I spent $7 at a Starbucks in Timbuktu. And they're like, was this a business expense? Do you have the receipt for that?
Right. Well, no, this, bro. This is why it's going to be so fascinating to see if they actually follow through and audit the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
If we think that the accounting standards of Treasury are a little lax, Federal Reserve isn't accountable to anybody. Right. So I don't really know because I haven't been in there and it's they don't get audited. I don't really know how these transactions are traced. But they if you think about the nature of what the Fed does, the reasons you have to meticulously trace financial transactions because everything is simultaneously a credit or a debit. Right. And if we don't balance this out, we don't know where we're at. But remember, the Fed, that's not how it works. They just push a button and create money. The only entity in the United or in the entire world that has an unchecked ability to create at will the world's reserve currency and simultaneously never be audited. The question I ask myself is, what do you think the chances are that untoward actions have not taken place due to that ambiguity, due to that lack of transparency? And, you know, just looking at history, looking at stupid human behavior, I want to think that they've done the right thing. I got to place the chances of that at probably somewhere less than 5%.
Oh, way less than 5%. That is very generous. I would also say, you know, you're open to any outcome. And that's the whole thing about independent thought is like, you go back to what you said earlier about people saying, oh, they're not, they can't prove anything. They're just like on a wild goose chase. And it's like, is that the phrase? Wild goose chase?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, wild goose chase. Yeah. And it's like, why would you not even be open to the possibility that amid all of that, there's fraud and waste? And they were totally open to it until it was Donald Trump looking into it. And it's just so transparent. All right, on the show, we try to talk about something we might be skeptical about, maybe a little Doge fact check. So are vampires collecting Social Security? Is the real question. I like to say yes, just because I like to just imagine that they are, that there is some 300-year-old vampire who gets his little Social Security check and buys some vials of blood with it.
Yeah, well, and he might have been playing into the system for a long time too, right? So
it's only fair.
Who knows? Yeah, hey, vampire are people too.
Yeah, 100%. So yes. This is interesting. So they're looking into Social Security, right? And they find a little bit of an issue that there are some people who are still on the Social Security rolls and there's no death date. And when you do the math, some of them are quite old. Here's Donald Trump running it down for us.
From 200 to 209 years old, 879 people. From 210 years old, I haven't met any of them. And if I did, I would bless them. I would worship the ground they walk on. 210 to 219 years, 866. From 220 years old to 229 years old, 1,039. And then you have two people. From 240 years old to 249 years old, one person. And there's one person that's 360 years old.
So before we even get into what it's not really all it's being sold to be. You know what it reminds me of? The chicken checks. The chicken and tuna checks from Bob Ferguson. How he was sending out all these checks to dead people with these chicken and tuna rebates. And it was like, do I think dead people cash the checks? No. Maybe their family members did or something. But it's like, you're so incompetent, you're sending checks to a bunch of dead people.
Yeah, and it at the very least, let's say it's not even happening, it tells you how decrepit and ridiculous your databases are, right?
Yes.
And the one thing as reasonable human beings that we can deduce is at the very least, if your databases are wrong and that's faulty data, what do you think the chances are that there's waste, right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, I think that the issue that we have, and you referenced independent thought, I think the issue that we have is that everything has gotten so politicized, right? That even something like government spending, right, has just become, and simultaneously while it's gotten politicized, our education system's never been worse, right? And so you have people literally coming out that don't know how to think, right? Haven't been taught how to think. And so they buy right into, and you go, guys, hold on. What is the one consistent thing? The one consistent thing is, regardless of what party is in power, they're turning the screws to somebody. Okay. So wasteful spending is wasteful spending. It hurts all of us. We should all be invested in looking. And look, some of it probably isn't intentional, right? One of the things I learned is never chalk up to conspiracy what can be explained through stupidity. But bottom line, again, like you said, shining the sunlight on it, the antiseptic, it's good for all of it. And the other one I had, my Doge miss of the week, understandable, because you're getting, you get these big numbers, but how the 8 million turned in the 8 billion, right? And now what's funny about this is if you just, and I did a test with this before the show, I typed in the word Doge and I just Googled it. Okay. The only thing that came up was that story about 20 different renditions of it. They said 8 billion when it's 8 million. They said 8 billion when it's 8 million. And I was just like, isn't that interesting that the only news article that comes up across the board is the one time where they've misstated, and maybe they did it a couple other times. But think how many line items these guys are going through, right? Yeah. That somehow that discredits them.
Yeah, it's funny. I just pulled up this article from Forbes. Here are the biggest Doge hoaxes and inaccuracies. And it's like, is it a hoax? And like you said, it's like, okay, but what about all the accuracies? So this was 8 million canceled for an ICE contract listed at 8 billion. And it's like, okay, so you're talking about they put an M or a B instead of an M. And that's your big donk on Doge for the week. It's like, yeah, it's wrong. They can go back and correct it. But that's all the media cares about. That's all the media cares about.
And it's eerie. It's eerie because what is the one thing we've noticed with this media? There is no independent thought and they're all running off the same play sheet all the time. We have got capable people looking into the government's budget and reporting it in an unbiased way. And the response is like, how in the world can you put, what is the pushback here? Riley, what, let's go out and run Doge to the ultimate degree. What is the worst case scenario you can see coming from Doge? What is it? Greater levels of transparency? Maybe it ends up with us having more faith in government. Either way, let's run the story out and try to give me a scenario which will convince me that this isn't a good thing. I haven't heard a single example or a single, for instance of how that would be.
Well,
not one.
It's like when, the Republicans wanted more transparency in ballot counting and all that stuff. And there were a lot of election offices that said, yeah, that's good, because they said we're not doing anything wrong. So by having ballot observers or this increased transparency and this tracking, we're not scared of that. Because, we talked to a ballot observer this week who's like facing a felony for not wearing a mask, which is a totally stupid separate thing. But one of the things she said is, I want to be in there not to catch election fraud. I mean, if I see it, but I also want to be in there to say, hey, these people who are counting your ballots, I watched them. They're not doing anything wrong. So it goes both ways, right? So like if the worst thing, like you said, that happens is, hey, they went in, they found out this is working well, this is working well, this is working well, then great. And if they don't, then great too. Like the media is supposed to be the champion for transparency, but they're so unhinged about this attempt at transparency. It's absolutely wild. All right, let's end the show with this, Zach. What should happen? And this is something I've been wondering since the beginning of Doge. If they save us a top billions and billions and billions of dollars in waste, there is a guy named James Fishback, and this is so funny because he posts this on X and then gets a response from Elon Musk like, hey, that's a good idea. He says that President Trump and Elon Musk should announce a Doge dividend, a tax refund check sent to every taxpayer funded exclusively with a portion of the total savings delivered by Doge. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, look, anytime taxpayers are getting money back, it's a good idea. I would push back a little bit and just say, look, I think we've done enough fiscal stimulation over the past 5 years. I think it would not help out tackling the inflation issue that we've got. And furthermore, I think that we've got bigger issues to fry, meaning I think as far, look, I'd love it. Right? I'm all for getting tax money back. So selfishly, I'm for it. But I think we'd be better off putting that money toward paying down debt or this may be even the better solution, use it for funding infrastructure projects. Right. And the reason I say that is the bigger percentage of our government debt, there's a lot of different ways that we can tackle this debt. A relatively simple way would be to make a bigger percentage of that debt productive infrastructure spending. And an example I'll give you. Now, if it's wasteful infrastructure spending, it's just like social spending, right? I mean, it's got to be something that's beneficial. But I mean, think about if the government took, let's say they saved $650 billion, okay? And they took that money and they dedicate it toward the building of nuclear power plants. Think about the job creation, right? Think about what that would do for land prices and labor, right? Consumption of materials, all these things. And then on top of it, how long do we reap dividends from that investment by way of cheaper, consistent, clean energy, right? And base load energy that we're not worried about if it's cloudy, we don't get it, right? So ways, and that's, I was speaking on another show today about financial education. And those to me kind of go part and parcel, right? All debt is not created the same. When you look at government debt that was taken on to build the Hoover Dam, I mean, go look at the return on capital we've had on that thing. So we need to start thinking not just about the levels of debt, but what kind of debt is it, right? If a big chunk of that debt is making our economy more efficient, right, is increasing margins and operational flexibility for businesses and all kind of stuff, it's not debt the way we think of it. But when that debt is just social spending, it's the equivalent of just going out and lighting the money on fire.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you because, I mean, if I'm thinking I'm putting my Zach Abraham cap on and I want to be responsible, right, and if I get a Christmas bonus, do I go out and blow that or do I pay off my credit card debt with it? You know what I mean? But also, yeah. I think people need to realize if they make some sort of substantial savings, right, and they're able to cut the size of government, that means they should be able to tax us less in the future. So I'd almost rather, hey, when we get this under control, pay down our debt, tax us less once the size of government is where it needs to be. And I'd rather have that than a single Doge dividend.
Well, yeah, and look, that's where inflation comes in too, right? Which means we never think about that. But if you want to talk about the ultimate hidden tax that we all pay that nobody can get around, it's inflation, right? And so we could get the benefit of $5,000, but go through and look at your tax bill at the end of the year and figure out what percentage that's $5,000. And then sit there and go, okay, if inflation is running up by 3% a year, it only takes probably two and a half years to erase that $5,000. So actually over the long run, what is better off for us? A, lower the long run inflation rate by 75 basis points to 100 basis points and keep the $5,000. We're all going to come out way ahead in the event if that were the case.
Yeah, look, I know getting a check from the government is nice. I know Donald loves signing his name to one. I would do it too. But I don't know. I like the name Doge Dividend, but there's just better things to do with that money. It's a good name. It's a damn good name. All right, Zach Abraham, that's Doge Watch Week 2 in the books. Still bullish on Doge.
100%.
100%. I'm going to ask you that question at the end of every show, and I really dread the day that you might say no, but I don't think we're going to get there. So
like you and I know transparency is good no matter what form it comes in.
For sure. All right. See you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.